Today I'm going to share with you my favorite subject in the whole world. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Why it's my favorite subject in the whole world? Because when I learned about peace, I think I've learned the greatest lesson in my life. And so I'd like to share it with you. In the early days of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, when they were really, really bad, and I was feeling down and frustrated and wanting to move away, just run away to get away from the war and the peace, the war and the Troubles, and thinking that this was no place to bring up my children. Well, one day I was in my son's bedroom, who was a teenager at that time, and you know what teenagers' bedrooms look like. It was an absolute tip, a mess. And I was thinking about some terrible bombing that had happened just the day before and the many people that were killed, and feeling like everybody else in our province, very sad. Now, my son, I told you, was a member of the Peace People. And he was a great follower of Gandhi. And one time when I was in America, I bought him a calendar from the Gandhi movie. And he had it on the wall. And I noticed that it said, for that day, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Now, I'd been listening to all this talk from our politicians that we have to get round the table, we have to negotiate, one side has to give something and the other side has to give something in order for us to get peace. That we had to do certain things to get peace, for peace to come. And so I thought that this was a bit of a contradiction. And I remember arguing with it and saying, no, there has to be a way to peace. Peace is the way, but I kept thinking about it for days, and the more I thought about it, the more it seemed to make sense. And at that time, my eldest daughter was about 15, and she had just discovered boys. And you know what that's like. Her room was always a mess, and she was up there with her friends playing tapes or going to her friend's house, but not doing any homework or tidying her room or doing anything that she should have been doing. Now, I tried to bring peace to this situation. So I tried to negotiate with her, but it didn't work. And one morning, I was calling them all for school. I had 5 children. I was calling them all to get up for school. And I kept calling her name. She was the last one downstairs. And I shouted, are you up? And she kept saying, yes, I am up. But I couldn't hear a sound from upstairs in the bathroom or anything. So I ran upstairs, 3 flights of stairs, to the attic room where she was. I was quite out of breath. And when I got in, she had earphones on. And she was in the bed, and she had a pillow over her head. And she was dancing in the bed to this music. And I screamed at the top of my voice, listen, my girl, you're late for school and you get out of that bed. Well, she jumped so hard that she hit her head on the sloping roof, and she ran right down into the bathroom with me banging on the door and saying, just wait until you come home today and I'm going to have a good talk with you and so forth. Now, I was trying to pray about peace in our community. But here I was negotiating a little war inside the house. And when I come down, all the rest of the kids were getting on their coats and their school bags and they were trying to get out of my way. And even the dog, who paid no attention to me, got under the chair. And she came downstairs without any breakfast, ran out to school in tears. And I sat down and said, now I made a mess of that. Here I am trying to pray about peace in our province, and I'm negotiating this little war. Now, this is not the way to pray about it. So I said, Father, you're going to have to show me. how to work this out. Because I was so angry and I was saying, I will have peace in my house. But there wasn't much peace at all. Well, after they went out and I sat quietly down and I began to read from the Bible. And then I suddenly remembered the words of an old Negro spiritual song, which maybe you know. And it says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So I saw that it was really me who was in need of prayer, because I was believing that my daughter was a rebellious teenager who would not be told, that she was disobedient, she was unwilling, she was untidy, she was all sorts of things. So I had to see, no, this is God's beloved child, and she's made in his image and likeness. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So he made her good. And then the wee voice would say, but she's so unwilling to even listen. Now, I knew that unwilling is the opposite of willing. So I looked up the word willing in the dictionary. And it was interesting. It says, not slow, lazy, or reluctant, quick to act, prompt to do, ready to respond. I began to see, well, that's how God sees his child. That's how his child is in truth. And that's how she is. Now, when I began to think that way, I began to feel a great sense of peace. And when she came home in the afternoon, she put her arms round me and said, Mommy, I'm sorry. She said, I was wrong, and I must have been awful to live with. She went straight upstairs, she cleaned her room, she got into her homework, and very soon after that, she had an opportunity to go to a lovely school in England for Christian Scientists. And so I learned from that we have to be at peace first, that what it said on that Gandhi calendar was an absolute truth. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. That I thought would get peace through negotiating and arguing and pointing out to her how wrong she was. But I had to be at peace, and then I could listen to what God was telling me about his precious child. Now, Jesus Christ has been called the Prince of Peace. And I love that title for him, because he is the Son of the King. And the King, as we know, is God. And our God is a God of peace. Nothing on this earth can disturb God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that nothing on this earth could disturb God. And if we become more God-like, we become more like him, we become more undisturbable. When you're disturbed, when you're not disturbed and you're at peace, you're able to see things much, much more clearly. So it's Christmas time. We're celebrating what he brought. He brought peace on earth. That was the gift that he brought. And that's the gift that he left us. When the Master knew that his time was come and he was leaving this earth, and he had no earthly possessions, he had no money, he had no home, he had no car, he had never written a book. But what did he leave to his disciples in the world? Peace. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He must have realized that peace was his most valuable possession. And that's what he wanted to leave. He was saying, if you learn that, you've learned everything. And I was beginning to learn it in a funny sort of way. But, you know, it took me years. It took me years to learn about peace. I didn't learn it in that one lesson with my daughter. It was very gradually and little by little, because we are so used to being disturbed and agitated. And we live in a stress-filled world. Everybody's suffering from stress. So it's difficult to change our thinking right around and say, no, I'm not going to be disturbed. I'm going to be at peace. And if you be at peace, peace will become the way to solving your problem and to healing. So don't try to heal a physical condition. Or don't try to heal a financial problem. Or any other kind of relationship problem. First of all, say to yourself, I'm going to be at peace. Because it's not the problem, but that I've let it disturb me. It's not what's going on in our bodies or what's going on in our homes or in our lives, but that we have let it disturb us. That's the real problem that is behind it. So if our God is a peaceful God, and we're made in His image and likeness, then we must be peaceful too. It's our nature to be peaceful. So when we're not at peace, we can't bear it, because we really ought to be always at peace. When my children were young, I took in dressmaking at one period and never wanted to go out to work and leave them. And one time I had to finish a big order for a certain date, and I was rushing to get through it. The woman needed the garments and I needed the money at the same time. And the night before, I was staying up late to finish them off, and my sewing machine broke down. Well, I tried everything to fix it. I took it all apart and I got out the manual. And according to the manual, I put it all back together again. But it still didn't work. And my neighbor had a husband who fixed her sewing machine. And she told me if I ever needed him to look at it, he would. So I called in my neighbor's husband. And he worked at it and worked at it. And he said, typical woman, he said, you probably took it together and you took it apart and you couldn't put it together again. He said, that's typical of women. He said, so I'll put it all together correctly and according to the manual. And I'm very pleased to tell you that when he did that, it didn't work. I was really pleased about that. So the next day I had to call in an engineer to look at the machine. He took one look at it and he began to laugh. And I said, what's so funny? He said, your machine only needs oil. It only needed oil. And there I'd gone through all this trouble, taking it all apart, putting it all together again. And I think that oil is a mixture of peace and joy. We need peace, but we need joy, because sometimes we take ourselves far too seriously. I'm sure you've noticed that you do that in your life, and I know that so do I. There's a verse in the Bible I like. It says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. But we don't want to suffer from dried old bones. We have to make sure that our spirit can't be broken and our joy cannot be taken from us.